Stoners. What's your discipline? You a stoner? That's cool. So are we.
I'm high a lot. It's weird to finally say that with pride. I'm high a lot. Being high has helped me with my anxiety. It's helped my social skills.
Love and light. Welcome to Disciplined Stoners Podcast. With your host, Eleven.
And my name is Winnie.
And we are the gateway drug to mindfulness.
And welcome back to another episode of Disciplined Stoners.
I'm your host, Eleven.
My name is Winnie, and we are the gateway drug to mindfulness.
And today, okay, as far as this industry and landscape being like a Pokemon game, this is one of my favorite Pokemon that I continuously see. We have a creator of this beautiful product here that we're going to get into. It's his first drop. He brings the most beautiful, classy touch to all the cannabis events that like we go to. And yeah, he's just like kind of a one-of-a-kind creator.
True.
And very important. We have Adrian Stein of Dope Cocktails.
Hey. Welcome to the show. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome.
Nice to see you guys.
It's great to see you. What do we got smoking on?
We're smoking on Comatose.
What do we got smoking on? I already started smoking it, so this will be fun.
That's rolled by our homie over here. Mina, what's up? How are you?
I'm pretty good. Yourself?
Good. How's your life?
My life is my life's pretty really good, actually.
Okay.
Yes, it's excellent.
You do a really cool thing.
I love that.
Thanks.
So my dad was a bartender when I was growing up. So I got to watch, but you got something special.
Like thank you.
You whipped the accoutrement
so,
in a very presentable way. I want to dive right in.
Winnie, I know.
Wants to
for,
give the, context.
For those of us who might not know who you are, I was just on the website, and I love the philosophy of it, but please can you give us a history and let people know what is Dope Cocktails?
Okay, yeah. So Dope Cocktails is something that I came up with in 2020, right? Really, I started working on it in 2019. And what inspired me to do it was I have a background with addiction, and I found myself addicted to opiates, and eventually by the end of it, IV fentanyl, right? So
shit.
I was I was in 2019, I was struggling, and this is like around the same time that the dispensaries opened up, like the legal stores.
Yep.
So I got put on methadone. I'm all right now. Thanks. And I got put on methadone, and that helped me get off the fentanyl, but the methadone created like some really bad side effects. I couldn't eat.
Oh, fuck.
Like I lost a ton of weight. I just was like, I also had to work because I was behind on my bills because I was just coming off a relapse. So life was tough. And so I was struggling, and my doctor actually, I talked to him about it, and he said, I think you should look into cannabis as a potential to help mitigate the side effects because it's helped many of my other patients. But he was like very clear with me. He's like, I don't smoke it. Like, I don't use it. I don't know about it. He's like, don't ask me for a license. I'm not giving you a card. Just go to one of the stores. There's stores now, like you can go talk to a bud tender, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
What was his apprehension of not wanting to give you a license?
He's just like, I believe in it, but like, I'm not the guy to ask for the license.
That's interesting.
But he was also, he's my family doctor. He is also the same doctor that was prescribing the methadone. You have to have a special like license for that, right?
So he'd give you methadone, but not weed.
Yeah, because he's just like, but he endorsed,
more in his wheelhouse.
It was his idea for me to go check it out. He was just like, don't ask me.
Yeah.
Go ask somebody else.
Yeah.
But I think it could help you, right?
That's super smart. That's
pretty
really,
smart.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And pretty open-minded.
If you don't know about something.
Exactly.
It also relieves him of any liability, I imagine.
Well, that's pretty much why they're doing it, right? Like, that's the whole thing. That's why you can't make medical claims. Right? There's no proof, right?
Yeah.
So I went to on Queen Street, I think it was called Nova at the time.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, and I went, I talked to a budtender, a young lady, and I told her exactly what I was using it for. Like, I did not lie. And she was like, she's like, there's other people like you that have come in, and I think you should look into one-to-one products, you know, the THC, the CBD.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, and I'd never really believed in CBD before. Like, I didn't know about it. Mm-hmm. I definitely was using THC already, mm-hmm. but it was too much before work, and like, it was just knocking me out. I wasn't right. eating food and stuff, right? So, yeah. And I wasn't trying to get high. I was just trying to like feel better, right? So, so I got a 1-to-1 flower, and I went home and I tried it, and it was like, she like hit it like right on the head. It was like perfect, right? And so then
that's, you know, so awesome to hear. Thank you, that bud tender.
Yeah, I'm very lucky that I met that one, because mm-hmm. it could have been another one, right? So
bud tenders, you make a difference.
Definitely, you know, and like I, you know, definitely come from the legacy market with flower, but I've always, and now that I know about CBD, I will only get CBD products from, you know, like authorized retailers. I don't trust it any other way. Any other
yeah, place.
There's just no way to, CBD, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so that's
and like CBD is like more like medicine than, you know.
Are you a medical patient now?
No.
No.
Yeah. I mean, wow. I use it for those purposes, but I don't feel the need to be one.
1,000%. Yeah. I became one because Mendo reached out to us, and we learned he can write off $2,000 a year.
Yeah.
On weed.
I mean, I have a business that's in cannabis, so I can already write off some like R&D
oh,
stuff.
Oh yeah.
Hey,
yo.
Nice.
Lots of R&D. Yeah. Lots
already
of R&D.
Ahead. Already ahead. This yeah. is like a superpower, one of those.
Okay, so your doctor recommended it. You went and got the oil. And then how is
so,
this tying?
Yeah, and then like, yeah, like, so that was just one specific strain that was hard to get. And then I started trying other, it was like Warlock 417 or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Haven Street, I think that's
right.
It, right?
Yeah.
It was, to me, it's like one of the best weeds I've ever smoked in my life. It was
oh
like
my God.
Perfect, nice. Right? So, but then it ran out and I like still wanted it. So I started like getting like just CBD flower and the Redican raindrops.
Okay.
Like, so.
Oh yeah, we got those. We like those drops.
Stop it. And so I started because like heroin's a first thing in the morning drug. Like you wake up, you need it, right?
Really?
So I was like just coming off that, and I was still sort of like shaky with that routine, and so I found that dropping some cannabis oil in my coffee and some CBD flower, like it yes. took away that sort of like it gave me a new ritual and a new routine, and it also took away my desire to like get high. But then in addition to that, it just made me feel like really well and like really safe and like connected. And like, I felt like I had like power, you know, like that I was just like, I was going to be okay.
Yes.
And so, and then previously I had a reputation and a lot of experience making cocktails, but specifically non-alcoholic cocktails. So one of the first guys in the city to have like a non-alcoholic cocktail list. Cool. Back in 2011, right?
You're the OG of mocktails?
One of them,
ah!
you know, so.
Yeah.
Well, because I stopped drinking alcohol 15 years ago. So.
Congrats.
And thank you. Yeah, so, and like I had lots of friends who don't drink, and I just, you know, it was like, to me, you know, a non-alcoholic cocktail was the same, just take out the alcohol. It's still the same, sort of like, you have to put the same amount of effort into it.
Yeah, potentially more.
If not more,
exactly.
Actually, it's more.
Yeah.
It's more.
Yeah, yeah.
It's harder.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
You were like a godsend of like when we were, like, because we love drinks, and we are the bougie millennials that will pay the $8 for a cocktail.
Thank
at,
you.
At
well, that $8 is very cheap these days.
Actually,
for
so
a mocktail?
Sorry.
Yeah.
$18.
Yeah, yeah, there we go.
Okay,
yeah.
Depending on what rooftop you're on. But regardless of like what's in it or how much it is, that exercise of being able to partake socially in a cocktail but not have it be like too filled with sugar, or at least filled with something beneficial, and then like not have alcohol in it, and just like in the capacity of enjoying your beverages at social parties, it solved that problem for mm-hmm. me. And it's such a consistent problem, like, because I don't like to drink alcohol, but I like to see the cool drink. And like,
yeah, we like the social aspect of it.
I like the cool drink. And like, yeah, you provided that experience, and I've never really seen it done that way. And that's super cool and important. And like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And going back to just how delicious they are, and it actually is way harder for a mocktail, because if a cocktail sucks, you're like, oh, like it's just, you just assume
you
it's
the
gross alcohol taste, yeah. You know? You're like, oh, they didn't do the best job of masking the alcohol. Whereas like, you don't have that. You just have to make a delicious drink, and you provide. Yeah. Let me tell you.
How do you formulate your recipes?
Well,
we
haven't even got to how.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm jumping the gun.
Yeah, I have to keep him, just hold him back.
No worries.
Okay, so you were having this.
Okay, so how I came up with it, right?
Incredible experience.
Yeah. So I was just like, I was walking with my mom, and I'm like, yeah, I got this idea. Like, I'm like, this is. I feel so good. It's like, helping me so much. This is so cool. And my, like, my mom, my parents are open-minded to cannabis, like, you know, like hippies and stuff. So like that's
nice.
And, well, yes hippies. And no, because you know, I'm in recovery. I'm not supposed to be using weed. So, you know, everyone's a little shaky, like, oh, is this okay? Is this not okay? And then we made a deal, like, if I ever relapse again, I don't get to use cannabis. So, nice. So like, that's like the sort of like, I get one chance with it and I'm like still riding it, right? So, and that's, and so since then it's just, everyone's been okay with it. And I told my mom, like, yeah, I'm gonna create something that's gonna help people. I wanna create an alternative to alcohol, right? Because I can't really create an alternative to heroin, right? So
yeah.
I had to create an alternative to alcohol. And like someone who hasn't drank alcohol for years, and also I've been a bartender, so when I go to restaurants, people will put a mocktail in front of me. Like, it's really nice, I appreciate it. But sometimes like a mocktail is not enough, you know? Like, and also I can't drink a cocktail. So for people like myself and anyone else who feels that way, or even if you need to take a break, I wanted to create an alternative, right? And something that's like sort of in the middle, but also like, because it's based around health and wellness, I wanted all the drinks to be like using, like, you know, no white sugars, using on-trend items like, you know, kombucha, drinking vinegars,
yeah,
whatever it might be, something healthy, fresh ingredients, of course, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long, so you told your mom you had this idea, this is marinating, how long was it, yeah, did you think before sort of the first cocktail was developed?
Like 3 months, I'd say. I, wow. Sort of like, yeah, I started learning about it and like trying, like I was huge into weed until I was about 30, like say 15 years. And then I stopped using it for about 10 altogether.
Is that when you used heroin?
Yes.
Through your 30? Okay. So you shifted away.
Yes.
And definitely went into that. Okay. And that, yes, that took
place. But while I was using heroin and I was trying to get clean, there was, I like, you know, when the, before the Project Claudia raised, you know, all the stores,
yeah,
I had already sort of learned that cannabis was helpful. I would like take a gummy and I would be able to like stay clean for a night when I wouldn't be like, I noticed that cannabis, yes, was helpful for me like a while ago. However, mm-hmm, I didn't know about it. And also it just like, I think like learning, I'm still okay, thanks. Like
learning about, you just about, tell like, us.
Yeah, 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 I'm probably, yeah, gonna be good for that.
Yeah,
okay, cool. Like I use cannabis, but I don't, honestly, I'm not like, on my days off, I'll smoke them back to back.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I practice my discipline with it. So.
Yay.
Love that. Yeah. You are a
disciplined stoner. Let's go.
Yeah.
I love that.
So you're at that 3 month mark, and is that you really figuring out what the branding looks like, or is that
No. So like, okay. So I'm learning about weed because, like I said, I was into weed way before. Like we're talking, like I stopped using it 2008, something like,
right,
that, 2006.
Yeah.
So since then, you know, now it's 2020. You know, it's a whole new world. There's all these different names, types,
yes,
strains. I come from food and beverage. So I wanted to learn about flavors, terpenes. Like I go into stores, yeah, I see like strawberry cheesecake weed. I smoke it. I'm like, it does not taste like cheesecake. Why are they calling it this?
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand. But then I go find other strains that are called like orange mimosa and it tastes like oranges.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay,
sometimes we learned that sidebar that they just have to call it something different because there's too many of like what it actually is.
Well, that's, but I wanted to learn why are they naming this? And like, yeah, also, yeah. And like I said, cause, like I didn't want to just come out and like make mocktails and drop some tincture into it. There had, yeah, to be some sort of like theory behind it. It had to be cool. It had to be innovative. It had to be like researched, right? So that I could go out and be like, yo, check this out, you know?
Yeah.
So so I started learning, and then
limonene cardial?
Cordial, yeah. This is like a couple years later, this product.
I know.
But
yeah, we're not here.
I'm sorry. I just want to drink some.
Yeah, you can. Go, I will, for it. Yeah. So then, let's say I came up with the idea in like June, and then September I put like pen to paper, and I started like coming up with like, first drinks were like milk and cookies, and then like diesel sour, like I said, you know, like it's like a whiskey sour, right?
Yeah.
And so I just started, I really wanted them to be like really cocktailed, right? Like, so, and then a gentleman who I'd worked with who was like a professional events planner, he used to throw big drink festivals. I approached him and I was like, I got this idea and you're the guy that I'm going to throw an event with.
Fuck yeah.
And he's like, that's what he said. That's exactly what he said. He's like, thank you for bringing this to me. He's like, absolutely, we're going to do this together, that's right?
A great idea.
So I had never really put together an event before and it's like, we're all super excited. And we just started building it out, no branding. And that was a big misstep.
Right.
I learned that. And so we did this event February 2020. And, you know, we learned about how, like, in the cannabis space, you can't, like, boost ads on social media.
Yeah.
And then even brands like Fever Tree Tonic didn't want to line up with us because it's not, like, cannabis isn't, like, globally legal. Yeah. So they can't, like, so sponsorship was difficult. So, you know, like, we ended up selling, like, you know, 3/4 of the tickets last minute. It was a push. Dropped the price a bit. We made it, you know, it was a learning experience.
Whew, and good job.
Gotta thug it out sometimes.
That's so, yeah, dense.
And, you know, but like, you know, and then we made an impression and I met a bunch of people and booked some events for, let's say, maybe 2 months. And then 3 weeks later was COVID, right?
Fuck.
It was like, see ya.
Ha ha.
Right?
Get into the events industry early 2020.
I was like, well, that was a good idea. Well, I guess next idea, Dope Cocktails is dead, right? So,
fuck.
No, but then actually a friend of mine, so that's Dope Cocktails. And then a friend of mine who's was in real estate, personal training, restaurants, he got shut down. He's like, I need a side hustle. I'm like, yeah, okay, let's. He's like, because everyone was asking me for drinks now, right? And it was just too difficult. So I was like, let's put together some products for people to make their own drinks with, right?
Fuck yeah.
So we started another line. It was called Cannaboost Elixirs. And we started selling syrups and oils. These the OGs of these, right? Oh. And it took 6 weeks before I had a meeting with the CEO of Wink, the LP back then. I was like,
yeah.
I got lined up with Charles Kabuth, you know, hospitality icon. And he was super into the idea. He's like, let's go. Let's take these products to market. And and then I met up with the lady at the LP and she was just like, no, too soon.
What?
It's not gonna work out. Like,
what?
Stay in the gray area, learn about your brand. You're gonna make money there. You're not gonna make money here.
Oh,
it's too regulated here. And like, it was really good advice.
Yeah.
It was hard to hear, but it was like, it was correct.
Sometimes you need that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. I mean, yeah. So, and then, you know, because it was like COVID for a while, I ended up turning Dope Cocktails into an Instagram account.
Yeah.
And because I come from like alcohol,
yeah.
As a bartender, like you get a traction like by flirting with brands. So I started like putting together drinks using other people's brands and I picked them based on like flavors or the color of their packaging or the branding or their names or whatever.
Yeah.
And then so I just started like doing my thing with drinks.
Yeah.
And then COVID wrapped up and I started being able to do pop-ups and I started putting like color coding the setup, refining it. I was starting to work with some LPs and retailers and like starting to get some traction. And then I had an opportunity to do some work in New York City last year.
Let's go.
So I did like 15 events in.
Cause New York is open now.
It was just opening.
It was just opening.
And I got there in April and I was like, I get there and like, there's nobody in New York City who has a branded cocktail thing. And I'm like, holy shit.
It's this so is crazy, rare across right? the board.
Yeah, and like they loved it. They really like food and beverage there.
Yeah. Right?
So I almost moved there because of it. I'm an American citizen.
Oh, really?
My mom comes from New York. I've always wanted to go to New York. Like that's why I went to New York because it was always my dream to like do things in New York.
Fuck.
Yeah.
And New York is a shit. I could definitely see you killing
which,
it in New York.
Which ties into the branding. So the original branding, the designer sat me down. Like he was just like, tell me about yourself. Tell me about the brand. And like I'm 44. I grew up listening to hip hop. My mom comes from New York. I'm a big sneakerhead. So he did a rip of the Nervous Records logo, I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. And this is inspired by the Club CBGB font, right?
Yes.
And so he was like, there you go. Here's your New York hip hop branding, right? And so I go to New York and I start doing events there, except Nervous Records is now an events company in Brooklyn where I'm doing events.
Oh my God.
And they see my logo.
Oh no.
And so they give me a cease and desist. Right?
Oh fuck.
And we had always joked around, like when we first dropped, he goes, if you get a cease and desist, I'll give you half price on the rebrand. Cause that means we're getting somewhere. Right.
Hey.
So I call them up. I'm like, hey, I'm gonna have to cash in on that offer. Right?
Nice.
It's time. Right.
Yeah.
And so.
And we're back.
Okay.
So we were at New York.
Yeah. The rebrand.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I have to rebrand. And so basically the guys at Nervous, I got to say, like, I totally saw their point. And I was like, because at first when they approached, they were messaging me over. I didn't get an official cease and desist. I got Instagrammed. And then they were like, we're going to give you a cease and desist if you don't stop.
Yeah.
So I was like messaging the guy. I'm like, listen, I don't mean to be rude, but I'm like a gray market brand in Canada. Like maybe I won't stop. And he's like, well, you're just taking someone else's work. And I'm like, okay, I'm done. I don't want it. Now, the way you said that, you're right. I don't want to do that. So he says, because I just, if someone did that to me, I'd be so mad, right? And I was like, as soon as he said that, I'm like, 100% I won't do that. And he was cool. He was like, listen, you need to change the Instagram avatar immediately. And like, don't print any more things, but you can like use up the rest of your stickers.
Nice.
I already had menus. I was on my way to New York pretty much for the next event.
Fuck.
You can use your menus. Like, don't hang your banner. I did, but I put like a, you know, bar over the eyes, like just to sort of like, it's like I have no sign, right? So, and so, yeah, I used up the stickers. And then, so I called up my designer. I was like, I'm going to need a rebrand. And he's just like, I'm really sorry, but I'm like so busy right now. I can't do it. So I was following a guy on Instagram who did really cool like cartoon sketching. And I just reached out to him. I'm like, this is my story. This is my brand. This is what happened. Can you help me? He was just like, yes, you know? So so we connected. He's like based in Southern California. I've never seen what he looks like. And he sent me a couple of ideas. And I was just like, man, like they were all good. You know, it was like hard to pick.
Cool.
So, and then like we had plans to do, I mean, we still might, but like to do like special edition ones, like change the face for like Halloween and Christmas. And,
oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, but he did. I was like, I ended up being like happier with this than the original one. So it worked out. Yeah.
Isn't that
and
so?
And I have two logos now because of, as a result, right? So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so interesting sometimes when something happens that is like perceivably bad in the moment, but like ultimately it leads to things that are like really good.
It's just been the journey as an entrepreneur, as like understanding that like sometimes the level up isn't by choice, but it's like really good. You know, it's like necessary. It comes when it comes, you know?
Well said.
You know, we don't get to choose it, but when it comes, it's just like we get through it and it's just like, this is way better. You know?
And it is a level up because it is like life putting on more weight racks to your bench press.
Yeah.
It's like, how are you going to get the gains unless it gets a little heavier? And then it can feel like overwhelming in the beginning.
So yeah, you did face some adversity then in like sort of getting this off the ground, especially with the COVID. So like what?
Yeah, why keep going?
Yeah, why didn't you just drop
crazy
it?
Crazy guy. You keep going.
I mean, I wanted to a bunch of times. And like I said, I almost moved to New York. So I was on my way. Like I was looking for places with a friend. But like at the same time, I started booking things in Toronto out of the blue. Mm-hmm. It was like, I was just like,
that's interesting.
Right? And then New York wasn't so easy. I had some issues down there. I got into a dispute with somebody I was working with. I found myself getting arrested for something I didn't do. It was like this whole thing. Fuck. So I'm like, I'm gonna stay away from New York for a bit.
Life.
It all got worked out in the end. Good. And but let me tell you, do not get yourself arrested in New York. It's crazy there. So
that's definitely something you don't want. Oh yeah,
not a cool place to be arrested. So
oh bro, shit.
So I'm like, okay, so I'm not going back to New York for a while. I'm gonna focus on Ontario again. And then that was like the fall, and then just things started sort of popping off.
Like they are now. Hello, it's your boy.
Yeah, exactly.
We out here.
We placed that intentionally in there, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not even a siren. That's just a little button I pressed.
Exactly. So, I kept on going. Oh, sorry. So then with the products, so I had another gentleman like on. Entrepreneur in the cannabis world who also basically a manufacturer of products. This guy had been following me from day one, Dope Cocktails, the Cannaboost elixirs, the Instagram, all this stuff. He also, he's an owner of a beverage, so I'm not going to say which one, but like, so I created some Instagram content for his company and he got back to me. He was like, that was so good. We love it so much. Would you like to take products to the market yourself? And I was like, well, I'm not really like, set up to do that. He's like, we'll take care of the funding. You're going to bring the intellectual property. You're going to bring the branding, the marketing. You're going to do your thing. Just keep doing your thing. We'll take care of the rest, right?
Yes.
I love that person.
Yeah, so do I.
Shout out that person. Bet you do.
Yes.
Good,
so...
man. You deserve it, though. You were on the move. You're on the hustle. You were focused. You're a perfect candidate to partner with.
Yeah, and so the original thing he asked if I wanted to do is like flavored powders. And I was like not really keen on that because personally, like I couldn't see how I could make it better than Kool-Aid, right? And like, Kool-Aid's already not that good. So, so then he's like, well, what about syrups? And I was already doing these like gray market syrups and I wanted to level them up. I wanted to use like minor cannabinoids in them and terpenes and like, I wanted to make them fast acting, but like, I can't do that in my kitchen at home, right? So So he was like, yeah, I was like, yeah, we can do syrups.
Why not? Know? Why, what's the, what's holding you back?
Well, is like just
temperatures
the,
or,
well, like the technology, the, okay. the equipment, you know, like the, like I funded all my stuff personally. You can take it, you can make it good enough, but yeah. you can't take it like,
yeah,
eventually you need proper equipment.
So this is incredible. This limonene cordial sativa syrup, like, is that, are we getting warm to this story, this part in the story yet?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
So, okay, so we'll talk about the syrup. So, it's yeah, incredible. So then they were like, let's make some syrups. So I had, so I basically took my original SKUs from the gray market and I just like revamped them. Same. And
so you got to be fully hands-on
yes.
with that.
And it happened really fast to the point where it was like, I got the call and it was like, we'll need the products and recipes by tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
How many did you have?
Well, I had none, right? Like,
but he had a lot, though.
It was like 11 p.m. I just got home from work, and I'm like, I read the email. I'm like, oh, you need this for tomorrow morning. I have to invent four products for the retail space. Okay, okay. Oh, so I just took my original ones, and I'd already been working on some ideas, obviously, right? And then I wanted to make them all, like, I like to have like fun with like whimsical names. If you know my cocktails, I think it's part of the experience.
So true.
So I wanted to like make all of them like sort of like plays on bar products. I just couldn't not think of it. So the limonene cordial is a take on lime cordial, obviously, yeah. right? And that's a very popular, well-known, non-alcoholic bar ingredient. And so it just made sense. And so to me, that was going to be the hero ingredient. Plus the color of the branding's matching my, like where the packaging matches my logo, right? Yes. So. And that was the one that I thought was the coolest in terms of all the syrups.
Yeah.
So what it is it's organic cane sugar, limonene terpenes from Chew Terpenes, and then a little bit of vegetable glycerin to emulsify the terps, and then fast-acting cannabis. And that's it. There's nothing. There's no chemicals, nothing. And it's
beautiful.
It's half. It's a teaspoon. So it's basically designed that you can – it works in anything – unsweetened, but works with things that are lightly sweetened already, right?
Beautifully. Mm-hmm. I just put it in kombucha and it is amazing.
Thank you. Thank
that
you.
Is amazing. That tastes so fucking good with kombucha. That's crazy. That's the drink. That's the drink. And it's the one-to-one.
One-to-one, exactly.
So this is like that so classic again, joint you smoked and you were like, nah.
I'm trying to stay true to like what brought me here. We talk about intention. I'm not here to get people high. Right, yep. I'm here to help people feel better, take the edge off. You yes. know, they're 10 milligrams each because I want value, I want effect.
Yep.
You know, and like if you don't want the full 10 milligrams, just pour a little bit less of the syrup.
Hello.
Right, but for those of us who do want it, then, but yeah, I think the CBD is important in there.
Oh, it totally is. I love the balance, the way that they act together and the harmony.
Is this the exact package that gets to be yes. sold?
So people yes. get in the store. It's so cool.
The next round is going to be a little bit smaller. They're going to be
great.
These packages.
Okay. So you go size. When you go nice. To dinner, though, you can bring these. If you don't want to drink and you go to dinner,
right?
Stop by a cannabis retail store. Ask for the dope cocktails.
Yeah, this is a game changer.
Well, that's
syrup, and then you just like any drink they give you or you bring. You
sparkling water is what I for that product. Hello. Like so, you can even if you take it out of the packaging,
and it's
right,
a gift. It's a nice gift. Buy four.
I brought it to a super fancy restaurant in Montreal. I brought a couple yes. of them for myself. Right.
Yeah.
Like having a nice, beautiful meal, but I don't want a cocktail.
Yeah.
Glass of sparkling water and a wine glass.
Hello.
It was great.
I love that.
So great.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
That's great. Congratulations. So is this the only flavor that you have on the market right now?
No. So that one is, that's the sativa syrup. And then I have one called Sweet Dream Syrup. Mm. So I guess people get a little confused with it. It's a hybrid syrup. It's not meant to make you feel tired. It's like Sweet Dream because it's Blue Dream and it's sweet, right? So
yeah, like a so, sweet dream, like
exactly.
a fun dream.
Yeah, it's not Sweet Dreams, right?
So yeah.
That's the... So,
okay, yeah.
But it seems to be the number one selling from what I've seen, like out of all of them. And that's like baby blue packaging. And that's Demerara sugar, which is like a earthy, sort of more flavorful, natural sugar that comes from like usually the Caribbean, something like that.
Oh.
They also make rum out of it. And so I had an agave syrup and a rum, Demerara sugar syrup. And I was sort of like pairing them with drinks that would traditionally call for like rum or tequila. So this way it's sort of like, you're using like the ingredients that they make the spirits out of in the drinks, yes. so that there's still going to be like a sort of like a natural pairing, right?
Yeah.
Just makes sense. So then I use sort of like, so the sweet dream syrup is for drinks like if you want to make your non-alcoholic mojitos, margaritas, whatever cocktails, you know, that's the perfect one. And that's, so that's 2-to-1 THC CBD. It's a little less CBD because I wanted it to be more of like a cocktail experience. Get a little high, you know?
But
also like, I think you want to have a couple of them too. You don't want to get too high. Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Nice and I know dosing. People who are drinking drinks are usually having a couple of joints or at least one with it.
Yeah, totally.
You had jobs at restaurants then. You worked the bar at restaurants or bars, or but then you slowly made a transition into renting your services out as an entrepreneur and by servicing like an untapped gap in the market. So can I hear a little bit? I know this kind of takes us back, like from we just rode this train to here and go get that product. But I'm always so fascinated with the transition time between being an employee and being an entrepreneur. And it doesn't happen overnight. And often you use time gaps in your job to build something in your head, or you're learning applicable skills. That's another one, like you definitely were. But yeah, can you talk a little bit about that transition or like working in restaurants or what that gave you?
Yeah, sure. So started working in hospitality in 1992. And I started at McDonald's.
Let's go!
Yes, at the Eaton Center Food Court. It was like one of the busiest ones in Canada.
Fuck.
And I got the job through family friend. So I was actually like working illegally. I was like too young to be, but they let me be there. And I was only allowed to work the cash. That's where like I was the only male. It was all females, and like the dudes were in the back flipping burgers, which is what I wanted to do, but I wasn't allowed to.
Yeah.
So. And because I was young, like I got paid like $6.25 an hour, something like that. It was nothing. And I was only allowed to work 3-hour shifts. So I'm going into work, make $20 a day. Like, it's a joke, right?
Oh,
not even. No. But like my parents wanted me to work and like whatever. I'm like learning. So it was
like. What's the monthly? You're like, I made $200.
Month. My 2-week paychecks were like $65. That was it, you know?
So that's like paper route money.
But like whatever, it was fun. I was down by the Eaton Center,
Yeah, right.
You were doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got free chicken nuggets, right?
So, sick. Yeah, it's a score.
Yeah. So in those like 3 hours I'd work, I would serve like 400 to 500 people. It was a lot. It was very busy, and the people I was working with, they were not having slackers there. So they like sort of took me under their wing. They were like, you know, maybe 10 years older than me, and they just were like, you're going to do what we do. And like taught me to work very organized, right? Very efficiently.
Nice.
Yes.
That's a great skill at such a young age.
It's everything to what to today, right? It's like it gave me the foundation. So
shout out McDonald's. Yeah. We were watching the Ray Kroc thing last night, and that is efficiency.
My training video was 40 hours hosted by Michael Jordan, which was pretty cool because I was big into Jordan, right? So I was like, but they take it seriously. Yeah.
Wow. The right
they paid that man.
That definitely.
So yeah, 40 hours. Did you watch that over the course of like 2 weeks?
I like came in like 5 days in a row for like, it was like, I don't know, like, it was like my job for a week, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't 40 hours or it was 20 hours. It was something like that. Yeah. Right? But like, so then like moving forward at the end of high school, I decided I was going to take a year off between high school and university. And, again, through like family friend, I got a job at a really busy espresso bar in Yorkville.
Yeah.
It was a company called Lethierry's. It was really popular late 90s in Toronto. It was like OG espresso place in Toronto that had like the best coffee. It was before all the.
That place, like the open place? Like it was just a small place?
It was right at the corner of Bel Air and Cumberland. It was quite big. It would be open till 5-6 in the morning. Like,
oh, wow.
There was still the jazz festival in Yorkville.
Oh, wow.
Celebrities would pull up. It was a place to be. It was like really, it was a very like Euro.
How old are you?
I was, started when I was 18. I turned like right before I turned 19.
Yeah.
Right. So
sick. I did fine dining when I was like 16, 17.
No, this wasn't fine dining. This was like a busy, like European style, like really busy espresso bar.
But the
bar.
Area was like high end.
The area was high end.
And like luxury.
Luxury.
And people had money to spend.
Very much so. Yeah. It was like, yeah. And so, but I got really into it.
It's good to get that culture.
Yeah, like it just like it was really cool to be around, you know. Started off as a dishwasher or like glass washer or whatever, and then within like 2 months I was already like you know bartender, right? And the way I became the bartender was I started making like fresh juices. They had like a juice. It was very like, it was a very ahead of its time. Like they had fresh juices. They had drinks made with ice cream, drinks made with syrups. It was like all kinds of drinks. Like drink list was like 80 drinks. It was crazy, right? So, and the way, like the sort of like the hierarchy there was like the head honcho was the barista and the bartender was under that. And then there was like the juice guy, you know, and like the ice cream scooper and like the sandwich press.
Oh,
like,
shit.
Right? So one day the bartender guy didn't show up and he's like, who wants to do it? I stepped up to the plate and I just like got into it right away.
Nice.
And yeah, and then that's how I sort of got into bartending, right?
Yeah.
Wow. And I just took it on. I like really, really enjoyed it and I wanted to make the drinks look pretty. And then a few years later, I got scouted at the same place. There was an Italian restaurant being built. This is like 1998, 99.
Yo.
And I was making coffees for these two guys. And one guy calls me over. He's like, you know, you make really good coffee. Like, oh, thanks. He's like, I like you. He's like, you looking for a job? I was like, not really, but maybe. And so it was an Italian restaurant down the street. And I went to go see the owner. And the owner basically hired me on the spot. And I'm still attached to them today. I still work with them. And like, So... And this place that's called Dimi in Yorkville, it ended up being like super busy, like super popular restaurant.
Fuck yeah.
I worked there like I said, on and off for many years. And I just like, eventually I went towards other styles of restaurants and we like, you know, I went and spread my wings.
Yeah,
and, got to. And I continued the Italian vibe almost my whole career.
Yes!
And I ended up, I worked with operator like the gentleman who owns Giulietta and Julia now, Dave Minicucci. He was like he took me under his wing and taught me how to like elevated my mixology.
Yo.
And then I worked with Chef Massimo Capra at his restaurant called Mistura, and I was already good at mixing drinks, but then it was about refined service, attention to detail. We threw a lot of corporate events.
Yes.
Right? And so it was like there was no fucking around.
There was no room for error.
No.
No.
You know, like, and like we had like the top people and the
good.
Like, celebrities, government people, like very serious.
Yeah.
Top 10 restaurant in Canada.
Shit. I worked at Chipino's in Vancouver. There you go. And Pino Postadero.
Yeah, exactly.
Very fucking serious. Well,
I believe that chef used to work with my former bosses at another restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, they all know each other. Yeah. Celebrity chefs.
Top chefs. Intense.
Yeah. But no,
I wouldn't last a second in that kitchen.
No, you got it. It's very tense, but if you get into a flow with it and you just respect that you're seeing like a master with a vision at work and you're playing a role with it, you can really get into a nice flow yourself. And I've seen like specifically cooks and like really good bartenders, like I think be pretty fulfilled at fine dining restaurant because it's like top level. Like
top
it's
level.
About the execution.
Yeah.
It's about blowing their mind.
And there's budget. Like,
yes!
And you get to use like the nicest ingredients. I've
yes. God bless. Use
some
budget.
Crazy stuff, you know? Yes. Like, yeah.
What have been some cool, unique stuff that you've used?
I don't know, like fresh white truffle. Like, you yes. know, just grab a $400 truffle, start using, you know, like that kind of thing. So I mean, that didn't happen often, but, pretty much, I don't know, like 50-year-old balsamic vinegar.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
that type of thing.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
Like, or esoteric ingredients, but really high end spirits, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, liqueurs.
Yeah, you've dialed in on the terps and the taste feeling of the drink so well, and the presentation you put the flowers in.
Yeah, like, so the flowers obviously is you know, to represent cannabis, right?
Yeah,
but also I happen to really like flowers and colors, and I'm a big sneakerhead, which I think is all part of it. So I'm good, thanks. Yeah, and like, you know, like I was saying, without alcohol. Like when I designed the dope cocktails, I'm like, okay, there's no booze. That means I have to literally bring everything else, you know?
Yeah.
The straws with intention, the color of the cups with intention.
Yes.
All the ingredient, like all the garnishes. I keep the drinks like for the pop-ups. Like I try and keep the flavors like fun and original, but same time, like not too complicated.
Yeah.
And I make it more about the look and overall like setup as you guys see, right?
Yes.
Because it has to be executable. And sometimes I pop up in the middle of nowhere, you know, and like,
yeah.
I don't want to get myself into any situations where it can't still be great, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then.
I feel that from your setup. I'm so glad that you walked us through that journey because I'm like, you had to have had some like extensive like time and like training with like high level food and beverage pros because you don't just get that from like a school. You get that from like your tight butthole because the chef's yelling like you better do it right. Like yeah. It's like the military, like, well, you get the fucking
my mentor is insane with that stuff. And like,
you should
he would come talk to me and just be like, hey, how's your day? And start like feeling under the bar, just talking to me, you know, like, but he's not talking to me. He's checking to see if I've cleaned under the bar, you know, like covert ops, you know, just like it starts feeling the top. Oh yeah, you feel it okay. You know, just like.
And go into like the last wine glass up that you'd never actually use and just checking that and being like, oh, is that what we're calling clean? Like just like.
No. Shit and like during, when it's busy too, it can get dirty, right? So that's all part of it. And, but also like other bartenders, they have their styles. Yeah. Some people, you know, they juggle things. Some people light things on fire. You know, for me, because I come from a very organized environment, I felt that's what I had to bring to the table.
It's right? a beautiful representation of cannabis too. Like it's just like clear. Well, that's,
yeah, that was classy. The other intention was like I wanted it to be like not too weedy, right? So yes. still like fun and like so like the, I try and use green, purple, and pink, the colors of cannabis, right, as much as possible, and like I name the drinks after that, and I use food friendly terps. Like I don't use terps like gas mask. To me, that doesn't sound appetizing.
No.
But, you know, like some sort of, you know, fruit flavored like one, more. Right?
Yeah.
Like watermelon kush sounds much tastier than gas mask to me.
So. Yeah. Have you ever put runts on a runt strain? You know, no
but you, I mean, see what I mean?
There's so That's many. Yeah, there's delicious sounding ones.
It's the strains, you know, make the drinks so easy, right? So
if you're listening that way, that creative, intuitive way, sounds like you've always kind of been like that, looked at life through the lens almost as an artist, like creative, intuitive, or would you say you're more logistic and planned?
I would say maybe a little bit of both.
Like, of course, beautiful balance. Of course. That's great. That's really great because often there's like, I'm definitely in like the creative circle.
Well, like when I create the drinks, like I need like a starting point, and then usually I just, it takes a few weeks for it to fully evolve. You know, it starts off with an idea and like, you know.
So it comes from inspiration. So you think of another drink and you
We were talking about how I switched over to my from like employment situation. Sorry, talk about the inspiration of the drinks too. But basically I started in 2008, I won this big cocktail competition. There wasn't many cocktail competitions back then because mixology wasn't that big, but I won it. And part of the prizes, they put me in the paper as Toronto's best bartender. I'm not saying that I was. I just got called that, right?
You proved it. Don't be so humble. You proved it. This is Toronto's best bartender.
So as a result, I started getting a lot of people reaching out to me to do private parties for them, right?
Yes.
And so I've been doing them since that long. And then...
How did you catch those people or how did they find you? In the paper, they put your contact?
Yeah, they would call the restaurant because the restaurant put where I work. So they would contact the restaurant.
Oh.
Or like, pretty much.
And they're just like...
Facebook. Right?
This employee is becoming a celebrity in this field. We got to let him fulfill his...
I mean, not to say yes, but like, you know, there was like these Visa Infinite series dinners where they would sell tickets for famous chefs.
Yeah.
I actually ended up on a couple of those with the chef. Like it was Chef Massimo Caprio with mixologist Adrian Stein. I'm like, this is crazy. You know, I'm part of the cell, right?
Yeah. Oh my God, I love that.
And it became a thing. Like it definitely got to my head at the time. Right. But
It's good to feel valued. It's nice.
It was nice, but except it's the same time that my addiction also was like taking over. So it was like at the same time. Like,
oh, really?
So it was like two worlds. But yeah.
Wow. So at that time you were doing it. This was the cannabis?
No.
This was bartending.
So from 2008 until
you were just that
until 2020 when I decided to, or 2019 when I decided to go self-employment. I've been doing private events, and it's just something I've always, even when I was unwell, I always got contacted. I was always able to execute them. Yes. It was always sort of like this thing I had in my back pocket. Like I wouldn't know how to pay my rent. And all of a sudden I'd open my email to event inquiries. Bam, you know, it was perfect. And so
we feel ya.
So right around the same time that I was writing the recipe, right before I started writing the recipes for Dope Cocktails, I got asked to do a private event, a big wedding. And, I made $10,000 off of it in
Let's
a weekend,
go.
Right?
That's
and so,
it. That's the move.
And I was like, and I was also working in a restaurant at the time. And I'm like, okay, $10,000 over a weekend, it was a lot of work.
Yeah.
But if I get if I get one a month, I can live a okay life, you know, good life, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna now, because of this event, I'm gonna now start a company I'm gonna brand myself and I'm gonna start an events company, or at least not so much an events company, but my company is called DNA Drink Solutions.
Yeah.
So it was like, I want to offer solutions to all liquids that drink. That was like my
I love that.
First slogan, right? And it's just sort of like, because that's what I did in restaurants. People to run out of this ingredient, what can we do? Or this doesn't work, what can we do? Or how do we do this? Or how can we execute this event? Or
yeah,
you know, I was always coming up with the solutions, right? Yeah. So
you refined the talent already, but you started to take the branding and the business more serious to have legs to stand on as an entrepreneur when you got some recognition. Because we talk about that, it's easy to say, I believe blindly, and that's true, and you got to work on manifesting like that to put yourself in that feeling state.
It's just but the my next name
was mud. My name was dirt, right? So like I'm the heroin bartender. I'm the guy who's like got talent, but also got all this baggage, right? And I have to.
Oh, people knew.
Okay, it was no secret, you know. Like it's a small city, so
yeah. But then you. You did get the recognition in your field before you started to take it seriously and brand yourself.
Oh, no. I started off good, and then I went away, and then I came back, and everybody gave me a second chance, and then I fell off again. And I came back, and afterwards, everyone's just like, forget this guy, right? That's the way it felt, at least it seemed. I became irrelevant. Plus, by this time, I'm an old guy. There's new bartenders. There's more relevant people. You know, people don't care about me anymore. So Cocktails was, I'm like, okay, how am I going to start a bartending company when I'm like a washed up bartender? I'm going to launch Dope Cocktails at the same time. Right. So that was, they were all like at the same, that was the whole thing. It was like, I'm going to drop Dope Cocktails and launch my company at the same time, make an impression and be like the non-alcoholic bartender's back, but in a different way this time.
Right? Let's go.
And that was like a personal goal. It was kind of like, just be like, yeah, I'm going to do this for myself. I'm going to earn back my reputation.
And you are.
Which I believe I've done with most people. People that I care about, I have.
Yeah. Beautiful. Oh, that's so good to hear.
Yeah.
Oh.
And also, I needed to separate myself from the other people. So, and then, like, I prefer to work with non-alcoholic drinks, whether it's with cannabis or not. Like, it's a nicer experience, right, for myself.
And also not drunk people being around.
Well, that's my point.
Like, bro, it's just like, I know, like, my buddy sent me this thing about the history of alcohol in humans and how it's done more good than not when used in the right way in food and trusted company and small dosages like beer and wine. But it certainly reveals, like most of the time when abused, it reveals a side of people that's super unfavorable. And I'm not trying to put anyone down, but as opposed to like high people in my personal taste, I'm just going through a journey right now in my life where that's more cohesive to my wants in an experience. It's like, I'm cool with like just a moment of silence as opposed to like bursting laughter and grabbing my arm, like, and that's fun too. And there's a time for that too, exactly. Like a baseball game. But as far as like chilling and enjoying myself and having any meaningful conversation, yeah, it can be really wearing. Yeah, so I agree. I see what you're saying.
No, but like I'm not against alcohol. I make a living selling it. Like,
no, I'm not against.
And not everybody's like some people are still very nice with it. So it's nice to have a break from it. It's nice to have an alternative, right?
Okay. And there's so many people who are fucking so cool with it. Yeah, my buddy Tav, he will sit there and drink scotch and just be A-okay. He's a boss man. He's okay with himself.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the thing.
Exactly. So, but like, it's also nice considering my lifestyle and my history to be able to like turn my sort of like goals and lifestyle into like part of my business model. Like, I'm also giving back at the same time where I can. Yeah. I've done a lot of work, non-alcoholic work, even like at no cost with organizations to help people learn how to socialize without alcohol. Buy the cocktails, you know, and like I did something with She Walks Canada where we had 12 women that were either sober curious or new to sobriety that wanted to learn how to socialize with that. And I went in it non-cannabis, right?
Nice.
And then since then, about half of them reached out to me and was like, we use cannabis, you know? what's the name of your cannabis page, you know?
Yeah.
And like, it's cool. Like, so like, it just shows you that my goal and my intent, there's people out there that wanted this, you know?
Definitely.
And so like that's all that matters to me, so whether needed. I make money off it or not.
It's so needed. No, yeah. It feels great.
So, and like obviously we want you to make money, but we want everyone in the industry.
Everyone agrees with that.
Yeah, we want to start seeing people make money. But if for like for you, and what does the future of cannabis look like? Mm-hmm. Like, what's an ideal future for legal cannabis? Is it consumption lounges that can like serve this? What does
airports? This should
personally
be in the
airports. Like I wanted to. I'll just. I'm not like my sort of goal and plan is I wanted to open a Dope Cocktails cafe, but like soon. And yes. Like, and use like things like hemp oil and like functional mushroom. Basically do mushroom and plants now and be in a position to adapt when it comes, right? Yes.
Yeah.
And even if it doesn't come, at least do it to the best of our ability.
Yeah.
And so like that's sort of like what I want to work towards next is Dope Cocktails cafe. And that's way I can do drinks, I can do smoothies, I can do muffins, salad dressings, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
There's a place in New York called Stone Pizza. There's a Pizza Pusha. I'm not sure if you know about him, but he does a full Italian restaurant experience. I've like infused, really cool. Oh. And then there's Cafe Canal on Canal Street. They do like hemp based pastries and coffees and stuff, right? So, like, that's what I'd like to do. That would be ideal future.
Awesome.
Yeah. I think that's closer than we think.
I don't know, but I've already been like, you know, not full on working on it, but I'm working on it, like in the background, like that's sort of like the dream.
It's percolating.
And in the meantime, I'd like to continue to like evolve with the products and like innovation there. I got some pretty cool ideas and maybe some events here and there.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Would you, just where you're at now, would you have like a couple staples that are always available and then like seasonal, you know? Flavors potentially
depends in like what market, like Ontario it's difficult I think to do that but I think it would be less about like drinks and more about products and ingredients. Maybe a few drinks. I have a few ideas for flavor profiles, but I don't think I'd really come up with anything that people aren't already doing, just be different flavors.
You'd rather just create the raw products for people.
Like bar ingredients, like infused maraschino cherries. Like you can, you know, like something like that.
Oh,
like that's that kind of thing.
So
that's smart.
So you're giving people the tools to
make your own drinks. Yeah. Like that's what Dope Cocktails, Dope Mocktails, right?
Yes.
So I'm a bartender, that's my vibe. Like, you know, really, like I said, there's big beverage companies out there with way bigger budgets than me that I cannot compete with, right? So like it's a small category already. So, I mean, I designed two flavor profiles for a drink company in Colorado called Trojan Horse. And they won an award with them at some expo and they go crazy. Apparently they sell really well.
Sick.
So I would like to take a variation of those and bring them here. They're like lightly flavored, like lightly sweetened sodas, basically.
Nice.
Seltzers, but like cool flavors.
The bevy industry right now is just chocked full of sugar.
Yeah, we really need some innovation.
There was a couple non-sugar options that have dropped off in like the last 6 months, and I completely have stopped buying beverages since then.
Like proper, they were real good
for me for like water. What I do, because I'm like cocktails. I'm not like Coca-Cola. I'm not making a drink. I'm into cocktails, and when you make a cocktail, you need sugar. Like you can't avoid it. Like
fair.
If you want it to taste good, but that's why I made it only a teaspoon.
Yeah,
it's less sugar.
Right? Oh, yeah, this is not, so much.
Like, originally, it was going to be an ounce. It was an ounce, and then I was like, hold up. These days, nobody's putting an ounce of syrup into their drink.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, we're gonna cut that in half.
Nice.
Keep the cannabis the same, and I sort of increased the intensity a bit and reduced the volume.
Great.
So I think we're
good
at like
idea.
30 calories a serving, something like that.
Yeah, but
it's pretty manageable.
And also like the drinks that are on the market, like I've seen drinks, 355 milliliter drinks that have 30 more grams of sugar than this has.
Actually, if you look on our packages, it says 0 grams of sugar. And apparently because the serving is so small, if like in between certain percentages it just gets valued at zero.
Oh.
But like it's like so small, even though it's all sugar and water.
That's great.
It's like just a small amount of sugar.
Wonderful.
Cool. Yeah, and it tasted so good that it was kind of, and you said it was cane sugar?
This one's cane sugar. So we talked about the first two syrups, and then the last syrup I have is more of, you know, it's less about a cocktail, and it's called chamomile syrup. It's Ontario wildflower honey infused with Italian chamomile tea.
Oh.
So that's like that was me bringing my two up, you know, I'm from Ontario and I've been trained by Italians and like,
yes.
So and like I'm a big fan of Italian chamomile tea. It's like there's a brand that's really good.
Yeah.
So I made a syrup based with that, and then that's infused with 1:1:1 THC, CBD, CBN. So the whole idea of that product is for bedtime, right?
Yeah.
Chill.
You know, calm. You know, and like CBN. I've taken it when I was stressed out and it didn't put me to bed. One time it really calmed me down, another time it knocked me out. So yeah, I think it does its job. Yeah. And it comes in one of these as well. And like, you can take it as a shot, because, you know, like, it's not uncommon to take a little spoon of honey, like, just like, calm down. It's good for you. Honey's actually good for you, right?
Yeah, so, 1,000%.
Lots of healing qualities.
Yeah, it's
one of okay, the so that's things. What I was going to say. You can just take this directly.
You can, yeah. Yeah. Great. I mean, there's syrup, but like the honey one for sure. The other one's like, it's syrup. It's going to taste like that.
Yeah.
It's going to taste sweet. It was perfect in kombucha, but yeah, I could see sparkling water just being amazing.
And I have two oils too. So it's an avocado coconut oil. It's a vegan butter oil. So it's an alternative to butter, like a vegan alternative to butter. So it's like a pretty, it's like similar mouthfeel to like melted butter. It's like neutral in flavor. It's great for baking. So that's on market.
Wow.
And then this one's about to come out. This is a chili oil with THC and CBG. So that's going to be like in droppers for you dropping.
Chili oil?
Yeah.
Dude,
mad silly chili oil.
Mad silly chili?
Yeah.
Hello.
Wonderful.
That's great.
Awesome.
When will this be out?
We just sipped it to OCS on May 26th.
Oh, so it's 1 milligram of THC?
To 1 milligram of THC, 0.5 milligram per milliliter, yeah.
Per milliliter? How many
milliliters? 60 milliliters. You'll get 60 servings in it.
So there's 60 milligrams of THC in here?
There will be. Not in this one. This is a sample bag, but yes.
Right, but that's when you buy it at the store.
Yeah.
It will be.
It's going to be 60 milligrams THC and 30 milligrams CBG.
Mmm, wonderful. Oh,
CBG is so nice. It's the happy one. I've been smoking
some of it. And that's just such a nice, like, you can just dose yourself.
Mad silly chili.
If I were to do it all over again, I would have dosed it 10 times stronger.
Yeah, 600?
You can do that?
You can, because it's a concentrate. It just would have been expensive.
Hello.
Yeah.
What is this retailing for around?
I think it's going to be like around 30. I can't recall exactly, but something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice.
And then what would the expensive one be? 10 times like 300?
No, but it probably would have been like, I mean, over 100. Probably 100 or something. Like, yeah.
We're just not ready for it.
Yeah. People don't know how to invest there. Quite
but if
yet.
If anybody wants something, you know, they can call me.
Yeah, holler. where can people find you? Instagram, right?
Yeah.
Dope Cocktails?
Yeah.
We'll link that up in the description below.
Dope Cocktails. Dope Doc. The Dope Cocktails account must have got a lot of followers from me.
Sick.
Because it's not me. So.
Oh.
No, Dope. I'm Dope.Cocktails. There's another guy that's Dope Cocktails. That's not me.
Oh.
Did you, what, he was he there first? Or did, yes. Yeah, okay, you put in the dot.
And like, I've reached out, he's not around.
Oh, yeah.
He's not around?
Hasn't replied, no.
Oh, yeah.
That happens. This is the internet.
What a cool journey, man. Congratulations on everything.
Thank you.
And the bounce back is strong. The force is strong in this one. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see what you continue to bring to market, man, and how your journey continues to unfold and do cool things.
Thank you very much.
Love, bro.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Any closing words, Wynn?
Just love each other.
Love yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Forgive yourself. Heal people. Heal people. I can keep going. Any closing thoughts?
I don't know. Be nice to other people.
Isn't that the most simple, kindest, wonderful thing?
Wonderful, stoner, beautiful things to say. Love yourself and others and be kind.
Pretty much. Don't be a dick.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true. If you need it in that term.
All right.
Subscribe. Tell a friend. Screen record a part of this and post it and tag us.
And thanks for watching.
I love you guys.
What's your discipline?
I'll see you soon.
You a stoner? That's cool. So are we.
I'm high a lot. It's weird to finally say that with pride. I'm high a lot. Being high has helped me with my anxiety. It's helped my social skills. Well, it's helped me feel okay about my shitty social skills. It doesn't make my social skills better. But it sure does make sitting in that awkward moment in a social interaction a lot more bearable. You know, that moment where no one in the group has anything left to say, and you desperately want to yell at all of them, just say something. Being high makes that hilarious and not torture.
Yo. It's a living from Anger Town.
Giraffes!
It's playing. plants just helped me chill out. Found focus, found confidence. All of a sudden I was productive. Less protective, more progressive. Yeah, we talk about stuff like I'm a next sommelier. But this is about a medicine, baby. We wish everyone a mindful life. It's been a helpful tool for us. Whatever the route to peace, it's each individual's journey. And the more we communicate, maybe we can all help each other out. Love and light. Welcome to Discipline Stoners Podcast with your host, 11.
And my name is Winnie.
And we are the gateway drug to mindfulness. And that's Ralph.
Discipline Stoners!
The gateway drug to mindfulness.
Gateway drug to mindfulness. Let's roll one up and take a hit. Gateway drug to mindfulness. Let's roll one up and take a hit. Gateway drug to mindfulness. Let's roll one up and take a hit. Let's do it.
What was I saying again?